with His Holy Spirit. How many of you need a good anointing upon your heart today? Amen. And some of you that may not even know how much you need a good anointing of the Holy Spirit upon you today. But God knows. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you'll face tomorrow. And He's got the answer for you if you'll just trust in Him. One of my favorite passages of Scripture in the book of Matthew, the 11th chapter. If you'd like to open up your Bibles and follow along with us here. Bringing to you a message that God laid upon our hearts this week. And I just want to try to obey Him. And if I do that and you do your part, God will show up and we'll have a wonderful time in the house of the Lord. In the book of Matthew, go with me if you would to the 11th chapter. Many of you won't even have to open your Bibles up. It's a very familiar story. And again, I say it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible today. It's all good, but how many of you got favorite parts of it, right? And scriptures that just touch your heart and just leave such an impression upon you. 11th chapter, book of Matthew, starting at verse 1, reading through verse 5 today. Verse 1 says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding His 12 disciples, He departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or should we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto him, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is," let's read 6, "and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." And stop reading there with verse 6 today. This morning I'd like to bring to you a message entitled "The Gospel." The Gospel. And all the things that Christ did in the healing of folks, everywhere He went, the blind and the lame, the lepers and the deaf, the dead being raised up. I believe that the most important part of the whole ministry of Christ was not the healing, but it was those that heard the gospel being preached to them. And the gospel that was preached to them set them free. And let me explain why I say that. Everyone that received physical healing still had to die. There was still going to come death along their journey. But those that heard the gospel and received it into their hearts, He said, you shall never die, because they were born again. The gospel has many different definitions or interpretations based upon what we see it as. But in the Bible, it tells us in the Anglo-Saxon, going back to their days, that the gospel was derived from the word Godspell. And what that meant was a good story or good news. In the Greek, to us today, as we go to there and begin to look at it, it means good news or glad tidings of various kinds. I think we need some good news today. I think that we need some gospel that will just rejuvenate our hearts. God's people have been tossed to and fro and cast down. So many burdens that we carry for so long that I believe we need some good news through the gospel of Jesus Christ. No matter what news that you may listen to when you turn the TV or radio on, it seems like the only thing you ever hear is bad news. All the bad stuff that is taking place across our land and in our homes, as we heard the brother this morning testify, and we've seen many of testimonies and heard prayer requests for family members that have overdosed and died. People that are going out into eternity. We hear about those that have lost their jobs. We hear about those homes that are in trouble. We hear about the children being abused and neglected. We hear about all kinds of sad things that is happening in our world and even in our lives today. We heard about our sister-in-law and the bad news that's there. On, I guess it was Thursday, I was talking with a man, and this man was telling me about his grandson that passed away, just a young man in his late 30s, but they went to get him to help him, and he didn't answer the call. They went to his house, and they pried open the door, and they found him there on his couch. He'd gone into eternity. And this man told me, he says, it's just tearing me up. And how we could just imagine what that man went through. Many of us today have heard so much bad news that we think that that's just what we have to accept and move on. But I want to bring to us a message today that tells us that in a world filled with bad news, the gospel or the good news that we find in the Word of God ought to energize us and take us to a level that we say, through Christ Jesus, I can do all things. That no matter how bad it may seem, and the devil will make it seem worse than what it really is, or he'll try to make it not as bad as it really is. Depends on the story, Ray, that he is trying to tell. But Jesus said, the poor have the gospel, have good news that is preached unto them. The good news today is not what you'll find in the newspaper or on in the media. They won't tell you about all the good things that's happening in our neighborhoods and in our lives. How many of you today, even in this congregation, will say, yes, there's a lot of bad things that's happening, but there's a lot of good things that's happening as well. Because we still have our freedom. We still have the right to attend a church that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're still able to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit come by our way. And we still have the Word of God. And if this won't cheer you up, we need to find an altar and begin to call out upon God to come and help us. Jesus said, the poor have the gospel preached to them. It's not necessarily those that are financially poor, but it's those that are spiritually poor. That you and I that was lost, we was as poor could be. But thank God, the Lord came by and spoke to our hearts and made us part of His great kingdom. We may be poor in this world, but how many of you know we are rich in the world to come? And don't wait till you get there to start acting like it. God has blessed us richly. He's given us health and strength, given us a place where we can gather, and given us brothers and sisters that care and love one another. Jesus said, you go tell him that the poor have the gospel preached to them. The good news. Tell them that they don't have to die and go to hell. That's great news this morning. That when you began to look at all that God has done for us, He's given us good news or glad tidings of various kinds as we go through this world. How many of you had a visit from God yesterday? And you know what He does to us? He tells us that in spite of all the bad things happening, as Gene wrote that song, He is still on the throne. He is still in control. And He is still saving our people that are lost and undone. Fixing lives today. And I know a lot of lives that need to be fixed. Those that are addicts, those that are hooked on many different things that the devil brings into their lives, that they cannot be set free unless the gospel comes to their heart and energizes their soul and saves them from a devil's hell. In the Old Testament, good news was anything that was good news was proclaimed to be good news or glad tidings that came along. In 1 Samuel, you'll find it that you remember when Hannah asked for a child. And you remember the Lord came and visited with her and told her that her prayer had been heard and God was going to give her a child. How many of you this week have had some good news? I didn't hear a whole lot of amens. God has given us as a church so much to celebrate on this Sunday morning. Terry got to go back to work. We thank God for that this morning. That's good news, is it not? Y'all want to hear some more good news? Rob and Sharon, God bless their hearts. Rob's off work, don't know if he'll ever get to return. Signed up for Social Security disability and denied twice. Is that?
No, didn't get denied.
And at the end of the story is Rob gets to start collecting disability from Social Security. Yeah, give the Lord a hand clap. And Rob was, and I know he's in his back room. I wish he was out here, but he's back there. He was saying, at the end of last month, it was all cut off. No more short-term disability, no income, and the insurance. No way to even pay for the insurance. Rob said Sharon's faith was a whole lot stronger than his. He thought he would get denied. But praise God, I've got some good news. The check will be in the mail. Hallelujah. And people say, does that really get you excited? When God blesses my brothers or sisters, it excites me this morning. And I did not know that until I got to church today and God had already given me a word to bring to us. And you say, well, that's just one instance of good news that's coming or that has happened this week. In spite of all these other prayer requests that we heard about this morning, I believe God has got good news for us on this Sunday morning. How many of you know that you're saved beyond a shadow of a doubt? Amen? That's good news today. That's good news that we are saved and on our way to heaven for all eternity. We may not have everything we want in this life, but God has given us everything we need in this life. Because as long as I've got Jesus, I've got it all. And more good news. If you know somebody that needs a job, after church, see Brother Mark. They're hiring. And you say, I believe that we ought to try our best to help one another along the journey, that we all would get to enjoy the good news. It's hard to worship God when you're broken and down and out. But when God lifts you up, Oh, praise the Lord. It's easy to stand up and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and your grace that you showed us. I believe that we can shout when God comes by and shares the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If this book won't make you shout, nothing will. This is a good book today. He said also that when in the Old Testament, the good news was anytime God showed up and showed his kindness toward his people. You say, God, I wish he'd come by and show me some kindness. He woke you up this morning. He gave you your health and strength that you have today. He gave you the ability to get up and go. You may not feel as young as you once did. The bones may crack it may hurt to even walk down the aisle. But let me tell you, God showed his kindness. You know, around the world, over 120,000 people did not wake up this morning. Every day, about 120,000 people die. I want to praise him. He showed kindness to my house today. I got up. I had the strength to get here by the grace of God. He watched over me from the time I walked out the door until the time I walked in the door. Hallelujah. Some of you ain't feeling him like I am today. God's kindness is good news to each and every one of us. In the New Testament, we find that the good news, it covers a whole broad area of many different things. The Bible teaches us that the good news is there about the kingdom of heaven and God. I don't know how down you are this morning, but when I think about when I leave this world, Brother Eli, I've got a better place waiting for me on the other side of Jordan. Oh, that is good news. Because I once was poor. I was spiritually bankrupt. But on a Saturday night, the Lord walked around my house, knocked upon my door, and gave me an invitation to become part of his great family. You see, heaven holds all for me, not just in the future, but for today. Some people say, I can't wait till I get there to start rejoicing in what God has given to me. I'm not going to wait till I get there. Anybody else want to rejoice with me on this side of the river? I want to thank him for the good news that a hell will not hold my soul, but I get to go to heaven and spend eternity with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All of our loved ones that's outstripped us and gone on, I don't know what it's going to be like when we get there, but I know this, we'll be singing and shouting and praising God for all eternity. The Bible also says that the good news of the New Testament is Jesus Christ. How many of you are glad that he came, stripped himself of his royalty, came down to earth and walked as a man, took upon himself our sins and nailed them to the cross at Calvary. But that's not the best news yet. The best news is they laid him in Joseph of Arimathea's tomb, but on the third and appointed day, oh, praise the Lord. They came there and found that the stone had been rolled away. They said, why seek ye the living or the dead amongst the living? The living amongst the dead, I'll get it right. Why are you looking for him here in a dead man's tomb? He's not dead. Go and tell the brethren. Oh, here comes some good news. Go and tell the brethren. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive. And I want to preach here after all these hundreds of years later. He's still alive. He's still alive today. The Bible tells us in the New Testament, in the book of Mark, in the 16th chapter, that the good news that we have today is of salvation. You and I that are saved, we will never in this life receive any better news than what we received down at an altar of prayer. How many of you remember that news? It didn't come from a telegram. It didn't come from a letter in the mail. It didn't come by the deacons taking us in the back room and telling us, or by the pastor kneeling down and telling us it was all right. But how many of you remember the good news that when it came to your heart, the Holy Spirit spoke to you and you felt that burden lift and you knew that there was something happened in your life? And let me tell you, I've not gotten over that good news today. Every time I think about it, I rejoice in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, that He saved a wretch like me, and I am no longer poor, but I am rich in God's mercy and God's grace today. And you are. Can I preach it for a few more minutes? See, I believe in years gone by that people that were saved were taught, and I don't know why, that we ought to just go around with our heads bowed down and be abased and just act like we ain't got nothing to rejoice about. I've got news for you. It's time for God's people to lift up your heads. Lift up your head this morning. I think if you'll do that, you'll find out it'll help that neck condition you got. Because we've gone around like this too long. I'm going to lift up my head to the hills from which cometh my help and say, Lord, I thank you for the good news that you brought to us today. You say, I just don't have that much to be excited about. You better take inventory one more time. The kids are all well. The grandkids are all well. The wife or the husband is well. Some of us say, well, we just barely got here this morning. Brother Eli, and I'm not picking on him or don't mean to embarrass him, I ask him often, how you doing? He said, I just don't know. That's a good question. And that's the way it is. Right now, I am standing before you excited about the good news of what God has done for me. Tonight, I might be laying on the undertaker's table. But while I have breath, I'm going to praise the Lord for the good news that He gives to me. And you say, well, the only time we get good news is when we're in church. If that's the only time, you need to move up a little bit and ask God to give you that same spirit. You see, I've heard some of you testify about people in your lives in years gone by, and how that you had them high on a pedestal because of their relationship with God. And you thought, one day I'd like to be like them. As I look over this audience this morning, some of you have reached that height. God has blessed you and brought you to that height. And we are the spiritual leaders of the church today. Amen? And we need to be focused on the good news instead of letting the bad news tear us down. Because you may think there's no way it's going to happen. Rob, I'm preaching to you this morning. But you see, somebody's praying. Somebody else says, God's going to turn this around. Rachel, God bless you. That test tomorrow, I'm not worried. Or this week, I'm not worried about it. Because my Father knows. He already knows the outcome. He knows what's going on. Some of you feel like this morning when you come to church, nobody knows where I'm at. Nobody understands this brokenness that I have in my heart and my life. Let me tell you, God can take your brokenness and put it all back together. I hear that song that they used to sing, pick up the broken pieces and bring them to the Lord. Folks, He can put your life back together. He can put your home back together. He can put your Christianity back together if you'll just trust Him. Let me move on. The Bible says that the good news in the book of Acts in the 20th chapter, the good news is when the grace of God shows up. How many of you know, if it wasn't for God's amazing grace, you and I would be in trouble? Not just salvation, but He shows grace to us each and every day. Grace, unmerited favor with God. Because I have done nothing to deserve how good God has been to me. Anybody else want to confess this morning? Has God been good to you? Have you done anything to deserve it? You say, well, I go to church. He didn't ask us to go to church. He asked us to worship Him. Worship Him. And if we'll worship Him, He will show grace to us along the journey. Let me give you some more good news. Did you know in the Bible, every promise that He gave to all of our forefathers, it applies to you and me as well? And this shall be upon you and upon your children and upon your children's children, as many as shall call upon the Lord. Today, I'm glad it was good for grandma and grandpa and mom and dad. I'm thankful it's good for me. But am I the only one that can be excited in the house of the Lord about the good news that, Sister Barb, this goes to my children and also to my children's children? As many that shall call upon the Lord, the good news applies to you in your life today as well. Some of you say, I saw what it did for mom and dad. I saw what it did for others. I saw what it did for brothers and sisters. Let me tell you, God's got enough just for you as well if you'll just believe. And then, just a couple more and I'll close. In the book of Philippians, in the first chapter, in the 27th verse, he says, thank God for the good news of faith. You say, where did it come from? When we was lost, God gave every one of us a measure of faith. And I'll give you an example this morning. How in the world did you and I muster up enough energy to take that first step when God knocked upon our heart's door? You know how we did it? We had to reach way down inside of ourselves and get that measure of faith, Brother David, that God gave to us. It was the hardest step I've ever taken, but it also is the best step I've ever taken. And God made it all possible. If it wasn't for Him, I would not have had enough faith to step out. But thank the Lord, He gave me the good news of a measure of faith in my life that I was able to step out and receive Him. And for some of us today, in Colossians, the first chapter and 23rd verse, some of you this morning, your hope is way down. God sent this word for us this morning. Your hope for today and for what's lying in the future, the decisions that you're trying to make right now, you have very, very little hope. But let me preach to you this morning. When I can't, He can. When I can't open the door, He can open it for me. When there's doors that I need to shut and I can't do it, He gives me the hope by showing up and shutting that door. When there's a prayer that I need answered, and the devil will come and say, there's no reason for you to pray like that. There's no hope. I mentioned Rob and Sharon, And I'll tell you why. Most people I hear about that apply for a disability, Brother Mark, it takes 2 or 3 times. They automatically deny it. And then you have to get an attorney and fight for it. And maybe months or years or so later down the road, you might get what's coming to you. And I did say, what's coming to you? Can I put that, interject that? We paid into it. It's ours. Amen. Oh, I get political. It's ours. We paid into it. We ought to get what we deserve. But most of them say there's no hope. My brother's already applied twice and been denied twice. But you know, there is a God in heaven that hears the prayers of His children. And I don't believe it was just Rob and Sharon's prayers, but how many of y'all was praying when there looked like there's no hope that God would open that door for them? And you know what we ought to do? We ought to rejoice together that the good news came. And our little hope, oh, it bloomed up. It was like that little grain of mustard seed. When we planted it, we thought it ain't going to amount to much. But you know what the Bible says? Jesus said it like this. That little grain, it became a great tree, and it overshadowed all the other trees because of that one seed. You and I can have that same kind of hope today. You can have it. We can have it. If we will just listen to the good news of the Word of God instead of listening to the world and listening to the devil. Because he comes to steal our hope. Steal our hope. Let me close today. There's more good news. The gospel. And people might say, well, Rob and Sharon, get us a song. People might say the gospel is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. No. The gospel is this whole book. From the beginning of Genesis to the close of Revelation, this whole book is full of good news. You say, but there's a lot of tragedies in there. Yes, but the tragedies weren't meant for God's people. They were meant for those that came against God's people. And those of God's people that met with tragedy is because they failed God. I am preaching the truth. The gospel has even another spectrum that we have not touched on this morning. Just barely, I should say, touched on it. And that is when this life comes to an end, everyone that's been born again, don't let them go past my coffin and say there lies that dead man. Because I'm not dead. I'm asleep in the Lord. And when he comes in the clouds of glory, I'm going to get up out of the grave. I'm going to get a brand new glorified body like it unto God himself. And I will be the one. I've said this, and can I share it with you one more time? When y'all get to heaven, if y'all hear some high-pitched country boy up there just running around screaming and shouting and praising the Lord, you might be able to say, he used to be our pastor. Because I'm so thankful that I get to go. That's good news today. That's good news. And if you don't have that good news in your heart, the only way you'll get it is through the gospel. The Word of God. Not reciting after some man. Not joining the church. There was a brother here a few weeks ago, and he said, how do I get in the choir? Do y'all have tryouts? Auditions? I said, yeah. You just get up there and just try out all you can do it. Sing all you can. You see, I don't think we ought to put limitations on what God lays upon a person's heart. God wants you to sing, you ought to sing. God wants you to testify, you ought to testify. Whatever it is, who are we as man to try to limit what God wants you to do in your life? Today, I know it's a world filled with bad news. But the gospel can bring you good news in spite of everything else that is happening in your life. Would you stand while they sing this morning? I've preached enough. Would you take it in your heart and say, Lord, what can I do And the answer is just follow your heart right now. Follow your heart right now. And say, Lord, I want some of that good news in my life. Because I don't have it right now. Follow your heart today. Mom and dad, young man or woman, follow your heart. He is the best thing that could ever happen to you. One more verse. You individually have to make that selection. You have to say, Lord, I want you in my life. Because I don't have that good news today. I've heard messages and they have spoke to me, but I've never received you as my Lord and Savior. Why don't you come? Yes. I come. We've preached our hearts to you this morning, and I don't know what it's going to take for some of you just to say, Lord, I want you in my life. It's that simple. And I'm not trying to oversimplify. All I did was say to the Lord, I did not say an audible prayer. I just remember saying, forgive me. Just those two little words, forgive me. And he came in and made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. He'll do the same for you today. He'll do it for you. Would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning? He's good to us. Amen. People say we ought not do that in church. Let me tell you. There's a lot of things that we don't do in church that we ought to be doing in church. Amen. Becky and I'll share this with you and we'll close. Becky and I, she was watching a show the other night. And I don't know what channel it was on or what thing it was, but it was about this preacher that kept getting kicked out of churches because he was a shouter. Yeah. And in order for him to get to a church that would accept him the way he was, they had to send him to a black church. I'm telling you, this was on the TV. And in that church, you know, they took him from that black church and put him in a white church, and it was about as cold and indifferent, about as stale as three-day-old cornbread. And they finally asked him if he'd go back to that black church, and he said yes. He went back, not as the pastor, he went back as an associate pastor. And it showed him in there dancing in the church. And showed him running around the perimeter of the church. People say, that's too old-fashioned and we're not into that. Let me tell you, if we ever get a good dose of the Holy Spirit of God in these bodies, it's no telling what we might do. And some of you say, Roger, if you ever get like that, buddy, I don't know if we can still come here. You got to follow your heart. I ain't going to let you stop me now. I'm too near home to change now. Amen. God bless you. Fellowship one with another. And I just thank God for all the good things he's doing for our church and for its people. And I want you to come back tonight with thankful hearts. You say, what should I be thankful for? Look around your house today and you'll see what you ought to be thankful for. God bless you. Come back tonight. We'll rejoice again tonight. Amen. If we come with our cups turned upright. God bless you today is my prayer.